Appreciate that so very much. Well, it's a privilege to have Dr. Mark Rasmussen here and his dear wife. And she's the slave, she's the hard worker back there, and he's the slave driver. And so, but we're really honored to have him here. He's been a very dear friend of mine for, is it 20 years now?
20 years October.
20 years in October. And we've known each other. I remember when he first went to Lancaster, and we stood out there and just kind of spent time getting to know each other, had kindred spirits, and right. God's used him over the years, and he's been a real help to us here in our ministry. And brother, you might even see some of the things that when you came years ago to preach, that God has allowed us to finish, and you were the inspiration for it. And we thank you for some of those things along the way. And so tonight we're honored to have you. God bless.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. It's great to be back at Calvary Baptist here in Fairfield. I love your pastor. Even love his son most of the time. I'll tell you what, I mean this seriously. Nathan had a wonderful testimony in college, and I considered him a friend because his dad was my friend. I remember the night that we dedicated this building. That was up here. It was just a wonderful night, and that was a great experience. And I'm going to say this. I've had the privilege of being in over 650 churches across our country, 48 states, not all of them. I don't have North or South Dakota yet. Don't have a desire to go there, but those are the two I'm missing. And this is a beautiful auditorium, folks. I even like how the usher's jackets match the auditorium. I noticed that. That was sharp. That was sharp. And just as good to be back. I've been looking forward to being here. And I always ask my wife, where are we going? And I'll be very blunt with you. I don't know where we're at on Tuesday night. We left on tour yesterday. I knew I was going to be out this morning. Former student of mine that I taught literally 30 years ago. And I was excited about being here tonight for a number of reasons. We won't go into those for the Strode Street, but I was excited about it. And I asked my wife, I said, what time is it? She said 7. And I said, who does church at 7 o'clock? So I'm going, that's pretty unusual, but I said, that's all good. So literally this afternoon, I didn't take a nap. I was actually, we had a bunch of fuses pop in the van, so none of our plug-ins were working, which is computer, GPS, phones, etc. I went to 3 stores. Well, we finished running that. I put the fuses back in. And I said, it's only 45 minutes. I said, well, let's just leave it. We'll leave at 6:15 anyway. We'll be an hour early. We'll just have a little time for fellowship. That'll be great. Right about then, I got the text from Brother Stone Street. Are you coming? What in the world? He goes, the service is at 5. I said, we're on our way. I will say, I believe it's the fastest I've ever driven on tour in 20 years, ever. I knew I was hitting 80 in a 15-passenger van. That's not good. But we made it, and it's all good. Now, the good news for you is I changed messages. The one that I had that was 8 pages long, I've changed it. We're doing something much shorter. So we're not going to kill you tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing. I'm not going to go through all the books tonight. I do want to mention we have 2 brand-new CDs. I know this church loves music. This one's called Unending Grace. This is a fantastic songs to refresh and renew. Songs out here like There's Nothing Greater Than Grace, Stand Still, Jesus Draw Me Ever Nearer, The Eye of the Storm, The Shepherd Knows Your Name, God Is On Our Side, How Great You Are, Unending Grace, just an encouraging CD. It was my idea. So let's get a song. I wanted a CD I could give to someone who was going through a tough time. And that's brand new this year. That's on the back table. This has this group on it. Don't they sound good for their first day out? I'll tell you, they've been practicing since January, but I'm really proud of them. This morning, I always take a picture at every service, send it to their parents, and I sent a text out. I have a group Texas. It's tour group 2017. So I click the picture, goes to all 4 families. But then I sent John Tyler. I said, you know what? First day, they sound great. And you say, man, I'd like to take them home with me. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't want to do that. Because I've seen them eat. All right. And you say, how do they eat? Well, Shekinah down here, the only way I can describe it is a locust going through Egypt. Okay. It's an amazing thing. Now, Shekinah, stand up, turn around for just a second. This is Shekinah. This is her 3rd year of traveling with me. Thank you, Shekinah. How many of you give to missions? You give to missions here. Let me tell you a mission story. A missionary went from America, went to the Philippines, led her daddy to the Lord. Discipled her father, trained her father, and now Brother Stone Street, for 14 years, her dad's been a missionary in Taiwan. That's a blessing. Stephen, stand up, turn around just a second here. Everyone in here has seen a picture of Stephen's mom. Everybody. Because her picture won the Pulitzer Prize in the 1960s. It was the AP picture of the century for the 20th century. You ever seen a picture of a little Vietnamese girl running down a road with no clothes on, burned by napalm? That's his mother. Kim Phuc. Thank God she got saved in Cuba, of all places, right? Cuba? No, Vietnam. They went to Cuba later. She got saved. On their honeymoon, she decided to escape from the communists. Her husband wasn't safe. She said, I'm getting off the plane in Canada. Do you want to go with me? He's on his honeymoon. He goes, I think I will. And he got saved. His mother now speaks all over the world. When I say all over the world, in the last 2 years, I'm talking about China, Russia, all over the world. She's the Worldwide Speakers Bureau. She has one speech. Forgiveness. Napalm burned her neck, her arms. It's an unbelievable situation. She's still getting laser treatments today to try to relieve the pain, the napalm. And an amazing story. Rebecca's very special to me. I met her family coming up to your church a number of years ago. And now she's the fourth person in her family to come to West Coast Baptist College. And that's a blessing. And Ben, I'm just getting to know. We met him at the men's home. And we're trying to reach out to you. No, not really. He's from Maryland. And his brother actually traveled with me. His brother played the guitar. Ben's a great pianist. And God actually salvaged him from a horrible fire. He's got bad scars on his hands. And God, his house was condemned. By the way, it was his fault, but that's another story. He was actually working with one of those radio-controlled cars and a special lithium battery that blew up. And he tried to put the fire out with his hands. Don't do that, okay? Use clothes, rags, something, not your hands. Their whole house was condemned. You know, amazing story. So some great stories here with these young people. And I hope that you get the music. The CDs are 15 for one, 5 for 60. If you're not good at math, that's $12 a piece. 10 for 100. And we take check, cash, or credit card. No small children. Brother Adam was wondering about his daughter being traded in, but no, we won't do that. By the way, how many are proud of Brother Adam getting his master's degree? Amen? Let's give a hand. I'm serious about that. And I want to say this. I've already used it for illustration about 3 times. We don't allow our guys in the college to have facial hair. Now, on staff, they do, right? But at the college, we say no facial hair. Brother Adam comes in to get his master's degree, and Pastor Chapel said to him, you're going to shave that beard? He was kidding. You know what Brother Adam said? I'd be glad to. I've already used an illustration 3 times. If guys who are 18 or 19 would have that attitude, it would change their life. We didn't want him to shave. We weren't even joking about it. See, the pastor was just kind of joking around a little bit. And he had a submissive spirit, said, if you want me to shave for March and graduation, I'm willing to do that. Now, his wife might have come after us with a bat, but I don't know what the story about that. She likes that beard, don't you, Ms. Jamsley? I know you do. Yeah. Because that way when he drools, you can't tell. Okay, it's all good. It's all good. But as one man said in our pulpit, our baccalaureate speaker is a graduate of college. He had a beard. The pastor made some joke. He goes, come on now, pastor. He goes, John the Baptist had a beard. He goes, Jesus had a beard. What's with this? So it all worked out well. But we have lots of books at the table. I don't want to take time because of the hour, and I want to have you out of here literally about 20 minutes. But I do believe what I'm going to share tonight will be a blessing and a help, so I challenge you to listen. Take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and turn with me. I'm going to dispense with humor. We've had enough already tonight. Turn with me to the book of Luke, if you will. The book of Luke, chapter number 15. Without a doubt, one of the great soul-winning chapters in all the Bible. We're going to talk about just 1/3 of the chapter. That'll encourage you right now. In this chapter, we see the story of the lost sheep. We see the story of the lost coin, and we see the story of the lost son. We're going to talk just about the sheep tonight. I've titled this message tonight, Jesus, a Friend of Sinners. Today at Lancaster Baptist Church, we had 56 people get baptized. That's a blessing. That's not normal. It's really the after effects of our outreach for Easter weekend. And for that weekend, our church family knocked on over 100,000 doors. And from Friday to Sunday, we had one service Friday night. We had 5 or 6 outreaches on Saturday. We called it the Hunt at different parks, in which we had about 4,000 kids there. And then we had about 7,000 people on the property on Sunday. But from Friday night to Sunday at noon, we had Sunday morning service for the shows at 8, 10, and 12. I'm saying to myself, who's going to come at 12? It's sort of like, who has church at 7? You know, I was wrong both times, okay? And I did save the sheet just to show you that I'm not going senile. I actually thought it was my dear wife's fault. I thought, dear lady, she's getting older, you know. And she made a little mistake here. I said, would you check that book one more time? She opened up, there it was, 7 p.m. What in the world? And she said, did you talk to Brother Stone Street? I said, well, I did, but we weren't talking service time. We were talking about dinner times and things like that. So we were down to important things, you know. But it wasn't her fault. even though I thought it was, I would not have blamed her, of course. But it was the secretary's fault. Of course, we're going to cut off her thumbs. But that's a joke, children. Just kidding. Take your Bibles if you're able to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would, please. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read just the first seven verses. And again, our title tonight is Jesus, a Friend of Sinners. It says this, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep? If ye lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance." Let's pray tonight. Lord, I ask for your help once again. Lord, I believe this is the passage you led me to today. And Lord, I pray it'll be a help and a blessing to each and every person in this church. I thank you for Calvary Baptist Church in Fairfield. I thank you for those who serve here, led by Pastor Stone Street. And I thank you, Brother Adam. And thank you for his faithfulness for a long time as well, for his spouse. I thank you for Nathan and his serving as well. I pray you bless them, and I pray you use them. And Lord, I pray for our having been here tonight, that we will be a little bit closer to being the Christian you saved us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Can I ask you tonight, would people think that you are a friend of sinners? When was the last time you reached in your pocket, took out a gospel tract and said, hey, I've got some good news for you. This will tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. I did that today, just a few minutes ago, 25 or so, going over the toll booth, paid by $5. I said, let me give you some good news. They almost always will take the good news. He said, you think he's going to get saved? I don't know. I did all I could do. You see, I know a man, your pastor would know of him as well. His name was Dr. Bud Calvert. He founded the Fairfax Baptist Temple in Fairfax, Virginia, about 40 years ago. He's retired now. He was a paratrooper. He was in a restroom. Somebody left a tract on top of the commode. He picked it up. He read it. He got saved. He went to Bible college. He planted a church. And that church started 37 other churches. And somebody somewhere passed out a tract and they don't even know what happened. When they get to heaven, they're going to rejoice. Brother Kyle Haynes, who your pastor knows well, is a huge Dodger fan. I like the Dodgers. I know I'm in Giants country here. They're losing again today. But moving on. The other night, I haven't watched two or three games this year. It's been a busy season. It just doesn't happen a lot. I finished my day. I checked on my ESPN Sports Center to check the score. And in the ninth inning, the Dodgers had hit back-to-back-to-back home runs to tie the game and then score. They were down 5-2, scored 4 runs the ninth to win it. Can I tell you what the angels in heaven did? Oh, you say, but don't you know the Giants won the World Series in 2010, 2012, and 2014? Can I hear an amen? You know what the angels in heaven did? Oh. Now, I have to admit this. I'm a little bit of a turquoise. I've been a Laker fan all my life, but right now they are horrible, with all caps. And I kind of transferred my loyalty to the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, Green, I'm not so sure about, Klay Thompson, Splash Brothers, Kevin Durant, 7-0 in the playoffs so far, even without their head coach. They're winning amazingly. I love watching Steph Curry play. He's a channel stopper. You like watching him, Nathan? I bet you. His shooting's amazing. His ball handling's great. And the angels in heaven go, oh. But the Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. One. Oh, 18,000 people will cheer the Oracle Arena, but not in heaven. You see, in heaven, they know what really matters. And my friend, if Jesus was a friend of sinners, we must remind ourselves that we are to be like Jesus. I really believe, Brother Adam, you showed that spirit just the other day, Wednesday or Thursday, Tuesday of graduation, whatever day that they saw you. I always liked you. I like you more because now you're a graduate of West Coast as well. I know where you went, and second choice is good. But I always liked you. I know you held up your hands to your pastor, but that day I respected you. I really did. People are watching us. They're watching us. Do they know that we love our Jesus? Do they know that we're representing him? Can they see that in our lives? The Bible says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says, you're a light, like a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. The Apostle Paul said, you are ambassadors for Christ. Now, how do we go about, like Jesus, being a friend of sinners? Four words. You can underline them in the text. It's right out of the text here tonight. Number one, the first thing we see is found in verse number two. The Bible says, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Number one, the key word here is receiving. Circle that word, receiving. Jesus said this. He said, the well need not a physician. Brother Stone Street, quite honestly, I've been looking forward to fellowshipping with you. Staying at their home. We're going to be going so wild down there that Janet and Susan are never going to go to sleep. We'll solve probably 80% of the world's problems. I've been looking for, you know why he's been my friend as of October, maybe 20 years. I remember the ball game. It was freezing. It was a turkey bowl. End of October. We stayed, and the more we talked, the more things we had in common. Nate, I was really happy when you came to West Coast. I try to be your friend while you're there. I always liked you. You know, part of it because I'm a friend of your dad. The Bible says, thine own friend and thy father's friends forsake not. Proverbs 27, verse 10. Can I say this? If I want to be a friend to Brother Stone Street, maybe nice to his son, how are we going to be a friend to God by honoring his son? It says here that he receives sinners and eats with them. It was 20 years ago this summer, I arrived in Lancaster and I got my first call for soul winning. Pre-GPS, pre-iPhones. Back then, young people, we had something called maps. And they were really hard to read. Sometimes you carry a magnifying glass and usually a flashlight in your car to try to read it because the dome lights weren't bright enough. It was in a town called Quartz Hill. I didn't know Quartz Hill from Silver Hill or Gold Hill. I didn't know where it was at. But I had one call. We went over to Quartz Hill. My wife was with me, and we couldn't find this address. I know one thing, Brother Stoster. I was going to go back to Pastor Chapel on my first week and say, I couldn't find the address. I went to a fire station to find the address. They said, oh, it's a new subdivision. It's not on the map yet. Well, I wasn't a total moron. We went to the house, knocked on the door. Man, let us come in. I said, they'd either visit or a new move-in. I don't know which it was. And I found out the man already attended another church, not like our church. Contemporary church. Saturday night church. Rock and roll church. NIV church. All the things were not. I took the card and I put save, dead end, turned it in. Pastor Chapel called me in for a little chat 2 days later. He said, Dr. R., where are you right now? What in the world? I said, Lancaster Baptist Church. He said, no. He said, where are you right now? West Coast Baptist College. He says, no, where are you geographically? I said, Lancaster, California. He said, exactly. He took the card, flipped it. He says, go get this guy. The Stone Street? I'm going, what do you want me to do? He already has a church. He said this to me. Did you invite him to your home for a meal? Ladies and gentlemen, if I thought about it like for 20 hours, that wouldn't have crossed my mind. He was a Neil. Why would I want him to come to my house? He's invited him to your home. I went back to my wife and I said, he wants us to invite that guy to our house. My wife very sweetly said this. Well, we might as well try it. Our way hasn't worked too well. I really didn't need that at the time. So I said, oh, okay. Drove back out to Quartz Hill, knocked on the door. Lou opens the door. Said, hey, I want to invite you to our Sunday school class and over to our house for lunch next Sunday. It was just, he looked at his wife and said, sounds good. okay, we're coming. That fast. You see, ladies and gentlemen, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So they were the first people in Lancaster we ever invited in our home. They came. I guess they liked us okay. They joined the church. Got rebaptized. Changed Bibles. He became my soul winning partner. He never did get all the lingo down. He didn't call it soul winning. He called it sharing. We going sharing this week? By the way, he was the chief electrical engineer on the Joint Strike Fighter. He belonged to our church for about 8 years. Significant giver. I'll never forget. I told my adult Sunday school class one time, I said, hey, would you guys pray? We need a snack shop. Back in the old multi-purpose room. So we need a snack shop. Grill, fryers. Well, the big expense is the fire suppression equipment. Lou Ray said, how much would that be? I said, well, I already priced it out at $16,000. He didn't say anything. That week I got a letter. No note, just an envelope with a check for $16,000. I said, Pastor, we got the money for the snack shop. He said, who's the from? I said, Lou Leinberger. He goes, yeah, not our kind of people, huh? This man receiveth sinners. Do they know you really care about them? Let's move on quickly. Number two, look down a little bit further at verse number four. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one which is lost until he found it? We have to, first of all, have a receiving. Secondly, we have to have a leaving. You know, this is really interesting. I've lived in two homes in Lancaster for over 19 years now. I've never led someone to the Lord in my home. It's all been in their home. It's been at a restaurant. I've gone to them. We have to leave our comfort zone and go to them. There has to, first of all, be receiving. There has to, secondly, be a leaving. Where the 99 were was where the shepherd was comfortable. I bet he had his bedroll there. They'd usually lay it at the gateway or the doorway of the sheepfold, which was usually made out of hedges. So if the sheep were to get out, they'd have to step on the shepherd. And if a wild animal would try to come in, it'd have to go over the shepherd. It was where he lived. But there had to be first a receiving of sinners. Secondly, there had to be a leaving of their comfort zone. If we really, truly are going to care about other people, we're going to get out and go after them. The Bible says to go out the highways and hedges and to compel them to come in. When was the last time you knocked on the door? They didn't get saved, but you went back again the next week or the following week and knocked on it again. And again. And again. And again. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. My dad's 87 and can't preach anymore and doesn't really go out much anymore. About 8 or 9 years ago, he called me because his son, he talks kind of soft. He goes, son, I got wonderful news to share with you. Wonderful news. He said, I led a Hindu doctor to the Lord. I've never led a Hindu to the Lord or Buddhist to the Lord. This hasn't happened. That's amazing, Dad. I think I made a little joke, but did he have a little pressure release valve here or something like that? He goes, oh, no, son, you visited this man with me. I said, I visited you with him? He's a doctor. I said, I think I remember that. He goes, you did. He said this, you were still a crown. I've been in Lancaster for over 10 years. I said, Dad, how many times did you visit him? He said, over 100. Over 100. He got saved. He got baptized. He joined the church. Are we willing to leave our comfort zone and go out after people? I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, for 20 years, I go out once a week. I make my visits. I check it off. They got saved. Praise God, I'm done. But see, our goal is to see people get saved, baptized, discipled, and serving. Saved, baptized, discipled, and serving. Can I tell you this, friends? It's going to take work. But where you sow an emphasis, you will reap a harvest. So first, we have to have a receiving. Secondly, a leaving. Thirdly, look down at verse number 5. It says, when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. We see, thirdly, a carrying. A carrying. You sometimes feel like you're carrying some people. What if they could ever get it? Why wouldn't they listen? Why wouldn't they get saved? One of my dearest friends in the church, I just found out he's going to have some surgeries. I wrote him a get well card the day before I left on Friday. His name is Phil Sobrano. Phil was a Hispanic man who worked for the aerospace industry. His hobbies were beer and softball. Really thick, huge forearms. Went to his house. And on the seventh visit to his house, Phil accepted Christ as a Savior. And I kept going back until finally got baptized. Then he got discipleship. He finished that. We finished all that. He said, I started going after somebody else. He says, why don't you come to my house every Tuesday anymore? He said, we're going after somebody else. He says, well, Phil now has been our head usher in the balcony for about 15 or 16 years. Had to carry him sometimes. Got a little upset about a few things now and then. But I love that guy. I love him. Are we willing to carry him? Like we did with our children when they made mistakes. When they were growing up. These are our spiritual children. God wants us to carry them. To help them. To help them take the next step. Dr. Getch and I, 15 years ago or so, wrote a book called Mentoring and Modeling. We want to teach them, but we want to show them. We want to help them. We don't want to stand up here and say, I'm up here in the ivory tower, you're down there. You are a miscreant. You need help. And we go down, we take them by the hand, we help them up the first step, the second step, the third step. Have you ever had somebody help you before? Can I ask you, are you helping someone now? Are you being a blessing to somebody now? Who is it who is? We stopped and sang for a widow on our way out of town yesterday. She turns 80 this year. She can't get out at night. I wanted her to know somebody was thinking about her. And somebody cared about her. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. So we, the shepherd here, first of all, was receiving. Secondly, a leaving. A third thing was carrying. By the way, he carried him all the way home. It's not always easy to make that carry. Your pastor knows a man on our staff by the name of Jerry Furso. Jerry Furso is the second best personal soul winner I've ever met. My dad's the third best. C.W. Fisk is the best I've ever heard of. Jerry Furso was in our North Auditorium years ago, and a man sat down in the second or third row. He didn't raise his hand that he was saved. Furso went down to him after the service and said, sir, he said, I saw you didn't raise your hand. He said, can I come by your house and visit you? The man said, no. Now, a lot of us would give up right then. Brother Furso said this. He said, I just sent you going through a difficulty or problem. He said, my son's going to have open heart surgery next week. Coincidence? Jerry Furso said, my son's had three open heart surgeries. Can I come by and talk to you and pray with you? The guy said, sure. He wrote out his name, his address, and Brother Furso put it in his Bible, his early service. Brother Furso at that time was teaching his home builder's class in Modular C. A number of years ago, he went over there, and as is our one sometime, he took the papers out and he put them in the pulpit, and he forgot the guy's name and address. He went back for the second service and said, the pastor, oh, guy's address is over there in Modular C. A lot of people right there might say, well, I lost it. Que sera, sera. Brother Furso went back across the parking lot, went to Modular C, but the Spanish church was in there. And then most would say, well, for sure, it just wasn't meant to be. And he went home and had lunch. And then in the afternoon, he went back over there. And they cleared out the pulpit and threw everything in the pulpit away. At that time, years ago, we had a big metal 55-gallon trash can out there. And they had a Spanish fellowship, but there was frijoles and chips and salsa. And the thing was overflowing somewhere, and there was that name. But then most would say for sure, man, forget that. But the first one went to church that night, and said, I got to find that. Went back over after church, and somebody had emptied the trash can. And then I think for sure I'd say, he must not be one of the elect. Just kidding. But the first one changed his clothes. The next morning came over at dusk or dawn and started going through dumpsters looking for Spanish fellowship scraps. finally found it, dug through all that garbage, found that guy's address, went to his home that week and led him to Christ. David said, that which cost me nothing, I would not have. That which cost me nothing, I would not have. I close with this tonight. Three words so far, just one more. We see a receiving. We see a leaving. We see a caring. But here's the last word. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. This is what's called a wraparound illustration. I started by saying there's no rejoicing in heaven over LeBron, Steph Curry, or the Dodgers or Giants. But there's rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. Look what it says with me, if you will, in verse number 6. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. So I was thinking about this message today. Here's what I thought. I said, Lord, would you help me to see one person get saved this week? Just one. I prayed for someone to get saved this week, and I prayed that someone, I can get someone to visit some church I'm in the next 2 weeks. I couldn't name what the churches are. But you know where your church is. Calvary Baptist Church on Gregory in Fairfield, California. It's so easy to find. And it's your church. Do you know what would happen to Calvary Baptist Church if next week each single adult in here had just one visitor? Could you imagine the spirit? Could you imagine the excitement? Can I promise you something tonight? Somebody would get saved. Somebody would get saved. And some people would get baptized ultimately. But we have to do our work. The Bible says that we are to go out into the highways and hedges and to compel them to come in. You say, Dr. R., I can't do that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. If I were to tell you tonight that my uncle, Steve Jobs, had left me in his will. Now, number one, don't get excited. He's not my uncle, and he didn't leave me in his will. His will encompassed $4 billion. In his kindness to me, he decided to give me $100 million. Well, happy thought. And what I've decided to do is pay off the debt at Lancaster Baptist Church. And everywhere I go, if you have a first-time visitor next week, 16 or older, I will give you $10,000. How many think you could have a visitor next week? $10,000. I don't have the money, and I'm not related to Steve Jobs. So instead, let's just try to do it for Jesus. Let's try to do it for him. What if we really, really tried? My son finished a CD recently, and he really worked hard on it. He probably put 200 hours in it. I sent one to you, Pastor, about a week ago. Nate, I brought one for you. Well, Shamsie, did you? That's such a good answer. I'm going to give you one, too. You know what I told my son? I said, son, imagine if you work that hard about reaching people for Christ. He was excited about CD Project. He was pumped about it. He's got some gifts in music. He's got over 1 million views on YouTube of his singing. He got into that. What if we get into the thing that's most important? Because why did Jesus come? To seek and to save that which was lost. So I ask you tonight, will you and I receive sinners? Will we leave our comfort zone? Will we be willing to do some caring or some lifting? I could use either word there. Because if we do that, we will have rejoicing. Let's pray tonight. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being back here at Calvary once again. I thank you for Pastor and his friendship over almost 2 decades now. Lord, I ask that you will bless the work during this invitation. I pray that you will do what I cannot. I pray that people respond to the word of God. Please, Lord, I pray you'll work. their heads bowed, their eyes closed, I'd like to ask a question tonight. I wonder how many here tonight would say this. You know, with the Lord's help, I want to do a better job of bringing people to Jesus. With the Lord's help, I want to do a better job of bringing people to Jesus. God spoke to my heart tonight. If you'd say that tonight, would you raise your hand? Numbers of hands raised. Numbers of hands raised. Just a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to ask the pianist, Mrs. Stone Street, to play. If God spoke to your heart, the altar is open. We're not going to be long tonight. But I encourage you to respond to whatever it is the Holy Spirit spoke to you about. Say, speak, Lord, thy servant here. Lord, I pray you bless during this invitation time. I pray the people will surrender themselves to do what you commanded us to do. Knowing your word says, I've commanded you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Lord, I pray you work tonight. Your heads bowed.